Thanks to everyone for coming out this Sunday afternoon. And thanks to those who download these as podcasts from iTunes. We invite your correspondence and feedback by emailing us at utahkrishnas@gmail.com. And we also like to thank those that have taken our membership class, which is on our website at www.utahkrishnas.org. We couldn't do what we do without your help and support. Everything is inspired by the, hi, how are you? I hope that you're going to be in a good mood for the next half an hour. This is how we grow spiritually. Everything is inspired by the teachings of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, the founder of Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. I'd like to talk to you today about babies crying. I mean, boundless abundance. Every one of us is equipped, we're empowered to fulfill the dreams that God has put into our heart. There's a zone that we need to be in, a zone of God's favor. Krishna is our name for God, by the way. Krishna's blessings. In that zone, we make good decisions. We see supernatural opportunities. The right people come across our paths. It's not based on our own strength, our own abilities, but it's through the blessings of Krishna, the blessings of God. Every one of us have experienced a measure of God's blessings through our youth, through our birth, through our education, through the people that we love and the people that love us, the successes we've had. But there's a level of favor that Krishna is going to release in your future, which is like nothing you've ever seen before. There'll be promotion, there'll be connections, there'll be relationships, there'll be health. If you're devotees, there'll be new temples that'll be open, there'll be festivals to be organized. What you've seen in the past is but a tiny fraction of what God's going to do in the future. This is called the fullness of the blessing. Means to experience God's blessings to the highest degree or the greatest measure. Someone says, true, God's blessed me. I have a nice house to live in. I have a good job. I have a loving wife. I have great kids. That's all good. You're feeling good. You've got the goods. But still, Krishna is saying that you haven't seen anything yet. You haven't even touched the surface of what's in store. If you told me in 1975, I was the president of the Berkeley Temple, which of course, as you know, is in the San Francisco Bay Area. We had a huge temple. We had 120 devotees. We had a good income. We had bought a farm in Mendocino County, 150-acre farm. If you had told me in 1975 that God's greater purpose for me was to end up in Utah, building a world-class Rajasthani temple on the top of a hill with 15 acres of land, gardens, llamas, peacocks, parrots, annual invitations for me to speak for 15 minutes at the Diwali celebration at the governor's mansion before all the movers and shakers of Utah, president of Utah Valley University, president of University of Utah, president of Zions Bank, and so on and so forth, and that we would have acquired a wonderful 4-acre property in downtown Salt Lake City. If you'd have told me that that was God's higher purpose for me, I would have said, what kind of mushrooms did you eat this morning? But God likes to outdo himself. His dream for your life is so much bigger than your own dream for your life. If you'll let him, Krishna, God's going to take you to places that you never ever thought possible. If you let him, he's going to open doors that you never imagined. If you let him, he's going to bring talent out of you that you never ever knew that you had. I ask myself, how in the world did I end up here on the top of a hill in Utah Valley? Particularly, I asked myself this question last March 25th when we had 50,000 people here for the Festival of Colors and they were all having a wonderful time and chanting and dancing, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That for me is surpassing my furthest expectations because our goal in life is to get people to chant Hare Krishna. And normally, you can't pay people to come here and chant Hare Krishna. But on that one particular day, 50,000 people will brave traffic, congestion. Some of them will walk 3 or 4 miles in order to do exactly that, to chant Hare Krishna for 6 or 8 hours. And so I asked myself, how did I end up here? I don't have the experience to put something together like this. I don't have the connections. I don't have the funds. All I can say is, look what the Lord has done in my life. What happened? We tapped into a greater measure of God's blessings for us. It's time to get excited about your future. Get your hopes up. You're not here by accident. You've been chosen by the Creator of the universe. Your destiny is not determined by the economy or how you were raised or your education. Your destiny is determined by Almighty God. He's already laid out a path of victory for each and every one of you. Because you're honoring God by coming here, even now as you're sitting here, He's arranging things in your favor, lining up new ideas, new opportunities, new promotion, new increase. It is said here, the greatest enemy to human potential is your comfort zone. It's easy to get satisfied. I've got a roof over my head. I've got food on the table. I've got money to pay the bills. That's good, but that's not Krishna's best for you. He's a God of abundance. He wants you not only to meet your needs, but be a blessing to others. In America, we go to the church or the temple, the mosque, and we've got our shopping list. Lord, give me this blessing, this blessing, this blessing, this blessing. And if we get those blessings, we think that's it, and we put a period at the end of the sentence. But the reason that God sends blessings your way is it's so you can invest and use those blessings to be a blessing to others. So where we put a period, God puts a comma. He wants to see what you're going to do with your blessings and how you're going to benefit other people and honor Him in your life. This is a prayer that Sir Francis Drake used to repeat. He didn't write it. It was written by a missionary. But he liked it. It's called, "Deserve us, Lord, when we are too well pleased with ourselves, when our dreams have come true because we've dreamed too little, when we arrive safely because we sailed too close to the shore. Deserve us, Lord, when with the abundance of things we possess, we have lost our thirst for the waters of life. Deserve us, Lord, to dare more boldly to venture on wider seas where storms will show your mastery, where, losing sight of land, we shall find the stars. We ask you to push back the horizon of our hopes and to push into the future in strength, courage, love, and hope." Let's be grateful for all that God has given us, for the amenities that we enjoy, but let's not stop there. When you stand in amazement, and I kind of like these images, I found them myself on Google. When you stand in amazement at Krishna's goodness, that's a sign. When your jaw drops and you can't believe what you're seeing, what you're hearing, that's a sign that you're beginning to get a taste and to tap into God's goodness. The fullness, coming into the fullness of His blessings, is when you bounce up in the morning, you open up your arms and you say, "God, I'm amazed at where you've brought me. I'm amazed at this opportunity. I'm amazed at these relationships. I'm amazed at this radiant health. I'm amazed at these kids. I'm amazed at this temple. I'm amazed at this festival." Don't settle where you are. Keep your faith stirred up. Look for signs of favor. Feel yourself a child of the Most High. Krishna is a God of overflow, not a barely just by God, but a more than enough God. What He's laid out for your future is more than you can imagine. In the future, you're going to see doors open. You're going to see promotion like you've not seen before. Krishna will bring people across your path that for no good reason will want to do good to you. You're going to have extraordinary wisdom. You're going to tap into the fullness of His blessings. Someone says, "True, I don't believe anything more is good that's going to happen to me than what's happened already." If that's what you believe, then this talk is not for you. This talk is for people who want to inherit and to claim what already has their name on those. For those who are willing to put God first place, it is said that we will go and live in houses we didn't build and we will reap from vineyards that we didn't plant. In the Brahma Samhita, Lord Brahma says that in that spiritual world, which is our inheritance, which is our real home, the stuff of that world is called Chintamani or touchstone. The trees are called Kalpavriksha or desire trees. Just like the Christmas tree, you come down on Christmas morning and the tree's got all kinds of shapes on it, like pears and apples and oranges, and then your heart's desires fulfilled with all the presents that are underneath the tree. This is a takeoff on the trees that exist in the spiritual world, which are called kalpavriksha trees, and will give you anything that you want in the service of the Lord. And it is said there that the cows are called Sarabhi cows. They give unlimited quantities of milk. In addition, the spiritual world is populated by millions and millions of goddesses of fortune. We have our Diwali celebration coming up next Saturday here in Spanish Fork, Sunday in Salt Lake City. So Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, is appreciated. She's worshipped on that day because she is an eternal associate of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Cardinal Spellman said about 40 years ago, Cardinal of the Catholic Church, he said, the problem with people nowadays is they want the kingdom of God without God. But the problem is that God created everything, God owns everything. If you target God as the object of your affection, then everything else is automatically included. But we don't care for serving God, but we want to enjoy God's property separately. So if this is a description that when Krishna was on the planet 5,300 years ago, this planet itself, by the touch of his lotus feet, enjoyed the same abundance and opulence as the spiritual world. It is said, the earth began to yield abundant harvest and the crops were of good flavor. Now we talked about the hereafter, but that also spills over into the here and now as we're reading. This is not a description of the spiritual world, but is a description of this world populated by God-centered people. The clouds poured rain in season and the trees became full of fruits and flowers. The flowers were fragrant and the fruits sweet. The cows, birds, and other animals rejoiced exceedingly. The people became brave, learned, honest, happy, and regarded one another with love and affection. Free from pride, wrath, and envy, their prosperity increased without bounds. So where in this passage do you read anything about scarcity? We don't read about industry. We don't read about factory. We don't read about slaughterhouses. We read that not only the people, but the animals rejoiced and were happy. It seems that in a simple, agrarian, God-centered life, all of one's basic needs are met. Building materials, jewels, foodstuffs, grains, vegetables, milk products. All that we have created in the modern world are extraneous things that create problems in the long run. This is our resident macaw, Pedro. Sometimes when I'm shopping at Sam's Club or Buy Low or whatever, and I try to buy economically, you know, to save money. A lot of the most nutritious foods, grains, vegetables and legumes don't cost very much. But once in a while I pass a display that says walnuts, shelled walnuts, $6. And I know how much Pedro loves walnuts. He doesn't need walnuts. It's not necessary for his health. But he loves to crack and open up walnuts and eat them. Now, my wife and I, we kind of regard Pedro as our child. And he adores us. He lets us know how much he loves us, how much he enjoys our presence when we walk into the room. So every once in a while, I'll buy Pedro a couple of pounds of shelled walnuts. Now, there's nothing that Pedro did to earn those walnuts. He has no duties here. He doesn't have to greet guests. He doesn't have to cut vegetables up in the kitchen. He doesn't even have to clean his own cage. There's nothing that Pedro does to earn those walnuts. But I enjoy seeing Pedro enjoy the walnuts because of his love and devotion for us. So get this in your spirit, that Krishna or God will release extraordinary, far above and beyond blessings to you for no other reason than that you are his child. It's not something you have to do something for. It's not something that you have to earn. You are going to have an extraordinary future if you'll allow it. What Krishna has done in the past is going to pale in comparison to what he has in mind for the future. Think that you're living at the right time, in the right place, in the right family. As long as we continue to be people of excellence and integrity, then nothing that's happened in the past, nor in the future, can stop those blessings from coming our way. Charu, 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 come down out of the clouds. Have you heard about the economy lately? Have you heard what the experts are saying? That it's not only bad, but it's going to get worse? Yes, I've heard, but I've also heard that those who put God first place are connected to a limitless supply of abundance, a supply that will never run dry. The leaf will not wither when it's connected to the root of all existence, of all things. Expect explosive blessings beyond your salary, beyond what's predictable, beyond your income, beyond a steady pay raise, steady promotions. Expect all of a sudden, out of the blue, explosive blessings. My wife and I, we built this temple. We opened it up in 2001. And I don't know how it happened, because we started construction of $1.5 million temple in 1988 with $20,000 in the bank. So some or other, 3 years later, this temple opened and it was fully paid for. After the temple opened, it was fully, and we were scraping for money, selling llamas, doing bay sales, whatever it took. We were scraping for money to continue the construction. Finally, it opened in 2001 and it was fully paid for. At that time, out of the blue, a far and beyond God, who not only meets our needs, but goes far beyond our needs, out of the blue, I got a family inheritance, $200,000. A year later, we decided the radio station that we'd bought for $85,000 in 1982, we no longer needed it because we had a worldwide audience broadcasting the same format on the internet. We sold that for several hundred thousand dollars. Over and above what we needed, a far above and beyond God doesn't stop with where your imagination stops. His plans for you don't stop where your plans for you stop. Expect explosive blessings that will take you to a whole new level. Another example is the Festival of Colors. And you've all heard of the Festival of Colors, right? I mean, you are from this planet, okay? So this has been around for thousands of years, right? Festival of Colors has been observed. In fact, Krishna organized the Festival of Colors 5,000 years ago. And Indians have been observing it for millennium after millennium after millennium. Krishna inspired us to tweak it in two ways. Just give it two little tweaks. One is, instead of the traditional instruments, the mridanga and the harmonium, we brought in bass guitar, lead guitar, keyboards, saxophone, you know, drums, so that the ancient mantras could be delivered with a delivery system that young people are comfortable with and familiar with and they're used to dancing to. That was tweak number one. Tweak number two is we introduced the countdown. This had never been done before. Thousands of years, nobody had done this. But everybody gets together, they got their bag of colors, and the musicians get ready. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And then everybody throws their colors up in the air. The music starts. It's a photographer's dream come true. Those two little tweaks brought 75,000 people here. And now the Festival of Colors is embraced by the Western community for the first time in history. It's going all over the world. And we ourselves are getting ready for our biggest one next year. And we're also inaugurating a Festival of Colors in Los Angeles. The festival exploded just because Krishna, who is the architect and the originator of the Festival of Colors, gave us a little bit of, tiny little bit of his favor, little bit of creative inspiration. That's all it took to cause that festival to explode. Suddenly, we found ourselves further than we'd ever dreamed of before. So pray to Krishna. Pray to God, blast me to a new level. Blast me out of these limitations. Blast me to a place that I've never, ever been before. What Krishna has done, if you're familiar with our culture, if you're familiar with the Bhagavad Gita, in 18 days, there was a bad guy, a materialistic, atheistic person named Duryodhana, and he wanted to usurp the kingdom from the five righteous Pandavas. So he worked for it, he schemed for it, he stayed up nights, he extorted, he robbed, he murdered. If the kingdom would have gone to that person who worked hardest for it and won it the worst, it would have gone to Duryodhana. But after 18 days of battle, Krishna wrested the kingdom out of Duryodhana's hands, left Duryodhana lying on the battlefield with a broken hip, surrounded by jackals, and gave it to the pious Yudhisthira, who didn't even want it. What Yudhisthira wanted was to be right with God. Should be right with Krishna. He didn't care about any worldly things. And that was the person that Krishna deemed most worthy to have the kingdom. He didn't earn it by scheming, by hard work, but he earned it by satisfying the Lord who creates everything, from whom everything comes. This is another story from our scriptures. An old childhood friend of Krishna's came to see him, and he was poverty stricken. His name was Sudama. He came from South India up to Dwarka, where Krishna was living in his palace. And before he left, it's a custom that when you go to the temple of the Lord, you go with something, because he's the Lord and we're the servants. So you go not empty-handed. If you're a poor man, you can ask a neighbor, may I borrow a flour? Can I take a couple of grains of rice? But the idea is you go with something in your hand. Sudama was so poor, he didn't know what he could bring Krishna, his friend who was living in the palace of Dwarka. And his wife just packed him up a little bundle of, it's called poha. It's just rice with no spices, no ghee, no oil, just with chipped rice with water. And that was all they could afford to eat. So he tied in a bundle. He made the journey to Dwarka. Krishna received his old childhood friend with great, great affection. And then Krishna said, did you bring me anything? And Sudama was ashamed. I mean, Krishna's eating every day gourmet foods, you know, prepared by his devotees with the best of ingredients. And Sudama, no, Lord, I didn't bring you anything. And Krishna said, well, what's that pouch on your waist there? And Krishna, you know, they did this kind of thing, you know, like, you know, Krishna finally got it, and he took one grain of the rice, unspiced, no oil, just one grain of rice soaked in water. He took one grain, and he enjoyed it. He relished it. This is the root of millions and millions of universes, the cause of all. He relished it, and he was about to take a second grain when Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, stopped his hand and said these words. This one grain is more than enough, O soul of the universe, to secure him an abundance of all kinds of wealth in this world as well as the next. After all, one's prosperity simply depends upon your satisfaction. That's the key. That's the key. And what we learn from this is that where we are is not where we're supposed to stay. We need to get rid of little ideas, little dreams, little plans. Keep a God-sized vision in front of you. This is Prabhupada, the founder of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. He was in Vrindavan, the holiest place of India. He was accepted as one of the most revered, scholarly, saintly persons in Vrindavan. He had everything he wanted. And his salvation was guaranteed. There was no question of his being a saved soul, destined to go to the spiritual world. But he said, I never had any small plans for Krishna consciousness. He left Vrindavan, he came to America in 1965, and because he got out of his comfort zone, he stretched his faith. I'm here now, you're here now, there's 500 temples all over the world, and there's millions of souls on the path back home, back to Godhead. What is the use of worshiping a great God with small plans? God, just help me scrape by until the economy improves. Just give me another couple of years. He wants to show everyone the greatness of his favor. One idea can take you to a whole new level. One connection can change your life forever. One invention. Dare to believe for his limitless favor. Try for new concepts, new discoveries. All kinds of inventions are just waiting to be released. Temples are waiting to be founded. Festivals are waiting to be organized. Krishna has businesses that he wants to entrust people with. He has books waiting to be written. So pray, Krishna, give me unusual above and beyond creativity. To work his work in the world, he uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. If you have a desire not only just to bless your family, but to make a difference in the world around you, there's no limit to the empowerment that Krishna can put into you. Wealth is ultimately meant for the righteous. Wealth may be in the hands of the unrighteous, the ungodly, the atheistic, but ultimately wealth is destined to be transferred to the hands of those who will use it to honor God and to help their fellow men out. Lakshmi, they said, is never separate from Krishna or from God. So wherever there's God, there's also Lakshmi. Every time that you chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, you're acknowledging the goddess of fortune with the word Hara, and you're acknowledging the cause of everything with the word Krishna, which is a name for God, which means all attractive. In the Ramayana, the evil Ravana, he kidnapped Ram's wife Sita, he whisked her away to his golden city, which is Sri Lanka, and Rama ultimately besieged the city for 10 days and killed Ravana and killed all of his soldiers, and then the city was delivered up to Rama. So who did Rama give to the city? This city of gold, which Ravana had fought many, many battles for, which Ravana had killed and committed many, many crimes for, which Ravana had earned. Ram handed over the city of gold to Ravana's brother, Vibhishan, who did nothing to earn it, only on the strength that Vibhishan was a great devotee of Lord Ram, that he had faith in Lord Ram, and the Lord enjoys blessing and favoring those who are dependent upon him. We don't have to, if we keep God in the center, we don't have to go after blessings. We don't have to foam at the mouth. We don't have to strive. We don't have to work hard to put bread on the table, to feed our kids. Of course, we have to be active. You can't even maintain your body without work. But we shouldn't go around with the troubles of the world on our shoulders, being affected by the doom and gloom of all the experts. If you do this one thing, seek after the satisfaction of the Lord, you won't have to chase down blessings separately. Joy, peace, prosperity, those blessings will chase you down. Everything that you need has been already laid up for your use. The wealth of the godly has been laid up by the ungodly. Here's the key. Make sure you're in the first group. Make sure you're in the godly group. Make sure you're honoring God with your life. Keep your heart pure. Let go of any sins that might be holding you back. Most of the time, it's not the big things that keep us from God's best. It's the little things. Be at work on time. Give 100% in your endeavors. Look for people to bless. Look for people to be good to. Sow seeds that in the future will result in explosive blessings. You'll see new levels of increase. People want different things to improve their lives. For some people, a major improvement would be to have clean drinking water. For other people, if they could just have their own well. Others aspire to own a home. Others desire the restoration of their health. Others might want a wayward teenager to come back into the fold. But if you keep God in the center of your life, whatever it is that you desire, He's going to supersize it. Take what you want and multiply it by a million. The next time you see a godless, so-called successful, wealthy person, think he may be working for me. Because Krishna goes to war against those who misappropriate and misuse his treasures against his purposes. This is written in one of our magazines about technology. By the so-called progressive work of modern civilization, millions of people have unnecessarily suffered physically and psychologically from the influences of over-industrialization and resultant social degeneration and conflict. The Vedic system, however, is one of simplicity, in which a man can live happily with his wife, perform his occupational duty, and remain happy serving the Lord with the gifts that he provides. His most valuable asset, his breath, he also offers to God simply by singing his name, chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thus, the devotee uses Krishna's energy to please Krishna in pure devotional service. At the end of the Bhagavad Gita, the narrator, Sanjaya, he says this, "Wherever there's Krishna, the master of all mystics, and wherever there's Arjuna, the supreme archer, there will also be extraordinary opulence, victory, power, and morality. That is my opinion." It's time for us to say, to address the Lord, "I know you have favors lined up, and that the surpassing greatness of your favor is coming my way." When you live a life to give, and you go around sowing seeds of kindness, you never know what kind of a harvest that you're going to get. Now is not the time to get discouraged, to hope that you can limp through the next two lean years. Now is the time more than ever to start believing in the fullness of God's favor. No matter where you are, He wants you to rise higher. He wants you to be more blessed, so you can be a bigger bigger blessing to other people? Will you get a vision for it? Will you shake off a barely get by, just surviving mentality? If you'll keep your faith stirred up and believe for far and beyond favor, Krishna is going to amaze you with His goodness. And if you like to chant with me, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Well, thank you very much for your attention. And